It's impossible to know God's will for your life until you know God on a personal level. Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe opens scripture to show you how God is communicating his desires for your life. But first, it's hard sometimes to know what God's will is for your life. That's why we want to send you a 5-message series by the Briscoes to help you discover and live out God's purpose for you every day. It's a new Bible teaching called God's Will for My Life. And it's our way to say thanks for your gift this month to help more people hear powerful truths from God's Word through this broadcast. Your support is vital to keep this program going strong. So call today to give and request your copy of God's Will for My Life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's get to Jill with today's message, Finding God's Will for Me.
How do you do life on purpose? How do you know that you're in the will of God? What is the will of God? And often I get asked these questions. I have been asked, does God have a plan for my life? Does he want me to marry one particular person? Does he want me to stay single? Does he want me to divorce? Does he want me to make the most of this difficult marriage? Does the Bible promise my husband will come to Christ if I pray enough? Surely this is the will of God. Is there anything in the Bible that will help me to know what to do with difficult relationships? What does God want me to do with my aging parents? Does he want me to be a missionary or a mother or a mother who's a missionary? Does he want me to be a banker, an engineer, a politician? What does he want me to do with my money? Does he leave me to figure all this out and just take care of the religious part of my life? Does he expect me to use my head, my common sense, and just look after church in my life? Does he want me to move to another town? Does he want me to take another job? Does he want me to sell my house? Does he want me to buy 2 more? Should I join the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, or the Salvation Army? Well, what about the church and mission? Surely he wouldn't want me to go overseas, not me, to India, Africa, don't like snakes. Asia, get heat rashes. Russia, Siberia, can't function in the cold, so that would never be the will of God for me. I mean, how do we know that Mrs. Noah liked animals? We seem to have this idea in our head that the will of God would match everything I like doing. Because surely the will of God should make me happy. The will of God should be there for me. Now we're going to talk about the will of God. How will we know what the will of God is? How will we know if we're hearing his voice? What will his voice sound like? In Corrie Ten Boom's wonderful little book, Reflections of God's Glory, she addresses a little bit of that question about how will we know his voice. And she says, somebody said to her, I never hear anything when I ask for guidance. And she said, are you listening? If you're spiritually confused, if you cannot figure out the right thing to do in a particular situation, you need to remain in his presence until the confusion changes. And that's one of the things we'll talk about. How do we listen? And what does that voice, that pointed voice, tell us? And how? And how can we know it's not our own imagination? Now, one of the problems about discovering the will of God is our own heart. Do we really want to? You've got to really want to. You've got to really search for his will and purpose in your life with all your heart. God said, you'll find me and with me, the will of God for you, when you look for it with all your heart. And one of the reasons that we don't want to find the will of God is we have a sneaking suspicion that we won't like it if we find it. And that if we really open ourselves up to God's voice, that what he tells us will result in us having to reject or resist or run away from the will of God. And so when really not honest, we get on our knees and we pray, Lord, I'm willing to go. And we're secretly planning to stay. And that doesn't work, because you'll never know the will of God if you don't want to. And if you don't want to, start there and tell him that. And say, I don't want to, but I'm willing to be made willing. I'm willing to want to. And that's all right. And some of you will have to start right back there and say, I'm sort of scared. I don't know what the voice is going to tell me to do, and I don't know what I'm going to discover, and I don't know what it'll cost me, and I don't know what my family will think, or my husband, or my wife, or my girlfriend, or my boyfriend. Do you want to discover it? Now, the Hebrew word will means pleasure. Pleasure. To do his pleasure. To do what pleases him. My husband, Stuart, takes Ephesians 1 and says, now the big plan, the macro plan is that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the big picture. But there's a little micro plan in there. And that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about. What's my part of the big thing? Is there a my part in the big thing? And so this Hebrew word pleasure, to do his pleasure, to make God smile, to bring pleasure to the heart of God, is all about the will of God and what it's about. It is his pleasure that we should discover his pleasure. It is God's will to guide us. Listen, I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. It's a promise. Can we know if God wants us to know his will? Yes, he said, I will instruct you. Ask me. Have you ever got down your knees and asked him? As honestly as you can. Place yourself into the presence of God. Sit there as honestly as you can until the focus changes from you to him and you begin to sense his grace. I can't tell you what that feels like. But stay there until the confusion clears and you begin to know the will of God. And we're going to talk about the practical ways that he will show us as we go along. So will and can I discover the will of God? Yes, it is his will that you do and that I do. Do I want to? That's another question. And maybe that's what we have to wrestle with on our knees at our bedside tonight. Will God help me to want to discover it, and then, of course, to do it? Yes. God will work this out. Philippians 2:14. It's God who works in us both to will and to act according to his purpose. God's energy works inside us. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what gives him the most pleasure. That's the message. Rendition of Philippians 2:14. There's an energy that God makes over to us that begins to work within our hearts. God himself willing inside us, working inside us. What gives him pleasure? What gives him pleasure? That we should know and do life on purpose. That we should find the purpose of God. Not just the big purpose of God, which is sort of theological in a sense, but the micro, the little bit, my bit of the purposes of God as well. Now, number one, first, to know the will of God, I'll have to know God. That sounds very elementary, but let me just pause here for a minute. You cannot know the will of God till you know God himself, till you find God, or you stop long enough for him to find you. Now, how does this happen? You need first to know he offers you a relationship. You cannot know the will of God outside of an ongoing relationship with God through Christ. John 1, listen to this. There's three things in this one verse. It talks about recognizing him, receiving him, and relating to him. And all those things have to happen, and that's what it means to know God. John 1, he was in the world was made by him, and the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Number two. Yet to all that received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to relate to him, to become the children of God. So we cannot begin to know the will of God until we know him. How do we know him? We recognize him. We look in the manger and figure out who that baby is.
More powerful teaching from the Briscoes is headed your way, so don't go anywhere. We've made a wide array of resources and content available to you online for free at tellingthetruth.org and on the Telling the Truth app. There, you can listen, read, and watch powerful teaching from Stuart and Jill on relevant topics like the sovereignty of God, the importance of the church, and how to grow closer with Jesus Christ. You can also request this month's featured resource as thanks for your gift of support to help share the abundant life Jesus offers with more people around the world. Visit us online or download the app today and experience life with Telling the Truth. All right, let's get back to Jill with today's message, Finding God's Will for Me.
Very exciting to live in the center of the will of God and see people looking in the manger, see them recognizing him, watching him at Nazareth, the word becoming flesh, listening to him, telling his parents, I must be about my father's will, my father's business, my father's things. If you want to know, says Jesus, what makes me me, then it's my father's things. It's my father's will. That's why I'm here. That's why I came to the manger. That's it. And so we recognize God in Christ walking on our earth. And then we receive him by a prayer. We receive his spirit. And that's where the relationship begins. And then we begin to relate in that relationship as his child. Now, what does that mean? Well, the more you live with people, the more you become like them. That's what it means. And so as we relate in prayer and study and grow to love him and know him, we begin to know what he wants. The more familiar you become in this relationship, having recognized him and received him, the more you will know what the will of God is without thinking. And the more we know him, Daddy, Father, through Christ, by the Spirit, the more we will know what to do. And when we get into a bad situation, if we'll be still enough, long enough, quiet enough, and dare enough to ask him, what would Daddy do? What would you do? What would Jesus do? What would Daddy do? You will come to know without a voice, without much trouble at all. So it really comes down to the ruling principle that will become the ruling passion in your life will be the principle of pleasing God who you know. Abba, Father bit. It's that bit. And the more you relate to God, the more you will know what Daddy would do or have you do or have done in a situation. So first you must know God. Secondly, you must follow Christ. And if you take your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read the Gospels. Watch him. Listen to him. These are the sort of things he said. Your will be done. He taught the disciples to pray it. Christ himself did God's will. There's tens of hundreds of times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, and references that tell us about this. In the Old Testament, I delight to do your will. This is written about Jesus. Oh my God, yes, your law is within my heart. So if you follow in his footsteps through the gospel, you can listen to him talking about the will of God. Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. So figure it. How is God's will done in heaven? What do you think? That's what he wants done on earth. Make a list of what you think it means to do the will of God in heaven. How do the angels do his will? There are hints. Watch him doing the will of God all his life. He said, I do always those things that please him. So if you want to know what it looks like to do the will of God, look at Jesus. Read the four Gospels in a sitting. Probably take you a couple of hours. It's all right. You take a couple of hours to watch a ball game. Get your Bible and look for the will of God in the life of Christ. So you know God. You follow Christ through the Gospels. You keep up with the Spirit, number three. As you follow Christ, you keep in step with the Spirit. You come to know the mind of Christ, just as you suddenly discover as you relate to God in prayer and study and interiorly in the intimate things of God, as you get to know him better, then you also come to know the mind of the Spirit. It says in the Bible, the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. Do you know what the Bible says? We have the mind of Christ. And the Spirit knows the mind of God, just like the spirit of a man knows the mind of the man. You alone, you're the only one in the world that really knows yourself. And the Spirit of God is the only one that really knows God. So if we have the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. And so the possibility is that he can, because we have his mind, show us what to do. God can reveal it to us by his Spirit. Listen, we haven't received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This will be in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And the Holy Spirit can instruct us. He will instruct us because we have the mind of Christ. And sometimes I have people say to me, it's beyond me. I am in such a dilemma. It's not beyond him. And you have the mind of Christ. Don't have a bit of his mind. You received the Holy Spirit. You can't receive a bit of a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so you've received all you're going to get. He hasn't received all he's going to get of you. But you have the mind of Christ. You have God himself. And he will instruct your mind as to his mind. We've got everything going for us. And so we know God, we follow Christ, we keep in step with the Spirit, and we resist the devil who has the counter plan. God has plans for us, and so does the devil. And that's the counter plan. And Satan wants to rob us of God and rob God of us. He's a murderer and a robber. His will, the devil's will, is to stop coloring your world with the bright hues of forgiveness. He wants to stop you serving the church, helping the poor, preaching the gospel, teaching Sunday school, learning scripture, giving your money to other people, especially missions, giving yourself to missions, horrors, and everything else that makes you like Jesus Christ, who he hates with infernal fervor, that will keep him burning with the fires of hatred in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And he has a plan for us just as surely as God has a plan and purpose for us. And we have to resist him. We have to resist him. And what he does is he tempts us with the world and he tempts us with the flesh or ourself. And he just tempts us as the devil. And he tries to get us to play with sin, with unbelief, with doubt. He wants us to doubt that God wants us to find his will. And it doesn't matter how he does it. He will find a way for us to play with doubt in our mind or play with sin in reality or just tempt us with one little thing. And we'll think, well, at any point I can stop this. Often the devil, I think, starts with a little habit, just a little habit, and you think, well, there's nothing wrong with this little habit, and you play with it, and you play with it, and it's all right. At any point, you can stop this little habit. Reminds me of Trumbull, the man who had a circus. He used to go around the world, true story, the turn of the century, and he had a snake, and he bred the little snake. It was like this when it came out of its mother snake, and at any moment, he could put his heel on it, and it would be gone. And when it grew and grew and grew, he had trained it from birth to wrap itself around his body until a man was totally hidden and only the head of the snake was seen. And it was in London, turn of the century, at the height of that act, which was the climax, that there was a piercing scream as the python crushed him to death. That's a perfect picture of sin and what the devil wants to do with us. Just wants you to play with it. And he tempts us to believe that at any point, we just play with a little bit of it. We can put our foot on it and get out of it. It doesn't work like that. And that's his plan, to stop us doing and learning the will of God. So what is the prerequisite for knowing God's will? What does Jesus teach us about the will of God? What place does the Holy Spirit play in helping us discover the will of God? And how can we resist the will of the devil? And this is the sort of theological academic setup, because the next section I want to do is the practicalities of some things that help us discover the will of God. Follow Christ, keep in step with the Spirit, resist the devil. This part is the relational thing of finding out what Daddy would do as an automatic reaction to situations that come along. The better you know God, the better you will know what to do. The better you will know the will of God and the purpose of God for your life. Now, secondly, let's look at doing and applying the will of God. Learning to see my piece in the big piece of the puzzle. I always remember my parents having a plan for my life, my tennis coach having a plan for my life, my boyfriends having a plan for my life, my teachers and my employers. And it never occurred to me growing up that God had a plan for my life and that his was the master plan. But it wasn't until he was the master of my life that the master plan made sense. And there came a time when I said, I'm planning to be part of the plan. And so the macro, the little bit, my piece of doing, understanding, discovering, and doing the will of God comes as I begin to live at the cross. Make sure you're fully surrendered to Christ and to the will of God that you know, not that you don't know, but the will of God that you know already. And we'll talk about that. Does God have a daily planner for you? If so, how do I find out what is on it Monday to Friday? Now, there's a very interesting little piece of scripture in James 4, 13 to 17. And it says this, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into this or that city, spend a year here and there, carry on business and make money. You ever done that? Why? You don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a mist, not a must, that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. So you live at the cross, and you ask yourself, am I fully surrendered? Will I go any place, any time, anywhere? There is no way I could have discovered the macro plan for my life if that decision had not been made. And from then on in, as he revealed his will, I had to do what Jesus did. I had to have a personal Gethsemane, a personal Calvary, and a personal Pentecost to do the will that he revealed to me. Because many times the will of God is not what we want to hear about. It is not the pleasurable, fun stuff that I expect God to heap onto my life as if I had a right to all of that. It's the difficult things.
Thanks so much, Jill. Understanding God's will for our lives can be a struggle. Maybe his will isn't what you expected, or maybe you just can't see how all the pieces fit together. That's why we want to help you discover God's plan by sending you God's Will for My Life. This eye-opening Bible teaching will help you know who God wants you to be and what he wants you to do. God's Will for My Life is our thanks for your donation to keep telling the truth on air and online, helping you and others experience life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of God's Will for My Life, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. We're so glad you've joined us today. We pray you were encouraged by today's message. Be sure to come back next time for more life-giving truth. Listen in and experience life next time on Telling the Truth.